Welcome back for yet another week of Going to the Hellmouth with Just Jocelyn. I'm Sabrina Hannah.
And I'm Jasmine Heron. This week we are going to be discussing phases and Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
I always want to switch Bewildered and Bothered in that. I just want to...
That's why I had to write it down for myself to be like, I got this right. It's Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered.
Mm-hmm. The B's, like, as in bewildered.
Yep.
Yeah, and should be together. Bothered should be at the end. It bothers me that it's not. Anyway. So, phases is our werewolf episode, like the phases of the moon.
Yep.
It starts off with Oz actually checking out the trophy of Amy's mother
in
the case and being like, have you do notice that the eyes follow you wherever you go?
And then he's like, I like it. But again, that's another example of Oz's character being more perceptive of the things that other people in Sunnydale just seem completely oblivious to.
Mm-hmm. So he's interrupted from his trophy time by Willow, and apparently they have gone to see a movie together. And this is not like the first time they've hung out, but they're like talking about the night before, and I think popcorn. And then Willow's just like, "Bye, my friend. Gotta go see Buffy." Like those awkward moments. Honestly, as an adult, I still, like, sometimes I don't know how to end conversations, and they go over about as well as Willow and Oz there. Granted, theirs was for, you know, smooshy, I have feelings reasons, and mine are just, I'm an adult, and I don't know how to end this conversation. Tortoises, goodbye.
Yeah, no, I feel like as an adult, my friends and I have had this discussion about how there's, like, the slow progression along, well, I'm starting to say goodbye, and maybe we talk about the next time we're going, and it just drags on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another friend who just started saying, okay, bye, and like walking away. And we're like, we need to adopt that.
Hey, yeah.
We have finished. Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Instead of like saying so many words that don't need to be said. Awkwardness.
I love you. I'll see you next week. Peace.
Yeah. I also really think that living in, like, through the pandemic where everyone's communicating through video chat is really going to change how people interact, because with video chat, it's just like, we're done. Goodbye. Click. So maybe that'll happen in person too.
Yep. But so then Willow is talking with Buffy, and mm-hmm. she's talking about how she has been dropping anvils,
mm-hmm.
and Oz is not making a move, and she understood before, but...
Willow wants the smoochies, the Oz smoochies only.
Yep.
And, like, they're talking about this, and then... Willow remembers that Buffy has just gone through the angel thing, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm awful, do you want me to go away? And Buffy's like, I wish you wouldn't, like, you know, stay. Like, Buffy realizes that her life has fallen apart, but I think one of the things that helps her feel more normal is, you know, Willow and Saw's thing, because Willow's not doing anything to rub it in Buffy's face. This is a first-time experience for Willow, and, you know, Buffy's her best friend and has experience with boys. Mm. So, help, is what she's saying.
Yep. And I do think that is something where, like, one person's tragedy, you know, should not affect someone else's joy,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa. Like, and so, you know, there has to be room in the situation for her to say, you know, I feel for my friend, I understand my friend's trauma, but my friend is also understanding of my other parts of my life that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think, again, it has to do with the fact that Willow is not trying to rub something in her face, and she knows that. Mm-hmm. As someone who has gone through traumas, I've definitely been in situations before where, 'cause both of my parents are dead, so I've been in situations before where people have been really insensitive right after I've lost a parent. Like, I had a friend at the time that when my dad died called 2 weeks later. She hadn't really talked to me since, but she called to tell me about that her parents and her were fighting because her parents wouldn't let her date this homeless man and drop out of school. And she was really upset about it and said she wished they would die. 2 weeks after I had buried my father. That is not a good friend. No. We are not saying by any means that if someone's acting like that, that you should put up with that. Drop them. I dropped her. My life is better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Willow, it goes from Willow and Buffy and then transfers into, like, this hallway situation where Larry is back again and doing piggish things like knocking books out of female students' hands, so they have to bend over, pick them up. He seems to be only picking girls in dresses, mind you, mm-hmm. And then making lewd comments as they pick up their books. So nothing has changed with Larry at this point, but things will, thank God. But or was the Larry thing before the Willow or during?
It was right after. So it was, she goes, oh, I'm gonna cut my friend, and then Larry's like, hey, Oz, like, what's up with that? Is she putting out? Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. And they bring up the thing about how she's a junior and he's a senior again. It's like, what are you doing dating a junior? You're a senior. And I was just like, again, like last episode, I'm like, what is the big deal? Nowhere else on earth does this matter.
Yep. but I mean, like, you know, Oz is just, he's very snarky in the way that he responds to Larry, in that he's not giving, you know, like, Larry really any purchase. So, you know, Larry's like, oh, that whole innocent schoolgirl thing is just an act, right? And Oz is like, yeah, she's secretly a criminal mastermind. Mm-hmm.
And Larry's just like, huh? What's the deal, man?
So then we go to, it's evening, we jump forward, it's evening, and there's Xander and Cordelia, and, Willow does her, we should invite Xander for, like, a friends night, friends movie night, and then she makes, like, a, you know, snarky meow comment mm-hmm. about Xander, about Cordelia, yeah. And she's saying, you know, like, What does he see in her? I don't understand. And then moves to Xander making out with Cordelia, which is what he sees in her is an outlet for his lust.
Yes. And they're in Lover's Lane, which overlooks Sunnydale in the woods. And they make comment that Cordelia makes this comment that there's a beautiful full moon. And so anyone who has seen any Buffy at this point, the second they mention the full moon is like, there must be a werewolf about. they're getting their smoochie on, but Xander keeps interrupting, talking about Buffy and Willow, and Cordelia has every right to be pissed.
Yep.
Every right. If you're making out with a guy, and he just is like, Buffy, Willow, that's anger inducing.
Yep. So they're finally making out, and then he's like, well, I heard something. And she's like, seriously? And then he's like, no, I really heard something. And she's like, uh-huh. And then a werewolf claw rips through the roof.
And it's a convertible, so it's not like, it's something that's easier to rip through. So, and of course, Cordelia drops the keys in the car, but is able to get them and, like, drive off with this werewolf attached to her roof and eventually gets him thrown off. But
and Xander says, just a little last word, he's like, I knew I heard something.
So Sunnydale has a werewolf, at least one. Mm-hmm. And they show up the next day, because I don't think there's anything in between that. They show up the next day with Cordelia's scratched up car, yep. which I think is her father's. Yeah.
It's her daddy's car that just got detailed.
She's very upset that it has now been werewolfed. And Cordelia also, while they're making out in a car, and the car says something like about how her dad has illusions that she's still a good girl.
Yep.
Which there's some debate about whether that means that she's lost her virginity or if she's just like smooching mm-hmm. a bunch of the boys, which she's had quite a few boyfriends. So she has been smooching the boys, but who knows past that.
So Giles is like, well, you know, they're having animal attacks and
Giles is very excited to look up werewolf lore.
Yeah. Like,
we haven't seen him this excited in a long time, since Kendra was around.
And then Willow, he's like, oh no, we'll have to wait for like the next, like next month's full moon. Mm-hmm. And Willow's like, well, what about tonight's full moon? Last night was the night before the full moon. And he's like, oh, let's go find out. So they find out, okay, like he does some research and discovers that werewolves are actually affected. It's the raw animality of a person that comes through psychologically with the full moon for the night before the full moon, the night of the full moon, and the night after. So 3 nights, and then the rest of the time, they're just a normal human who might not even remember being a werewolf.
Yeah, and he does this explanation using a globe, a light, and a stick with a moon on it, and just going around, and it cuts to the Scoobies all sitting there like, ugh, my God, there's an easier way to sum this up. Jasmine just did it. And he gives that same speech to Oz at the end, because Oz is not there for this one. But he yep. gets his own private telling, so he's so not then, left out.
Then they go to the gym for gym class, where Xander is upset that Oz is fixing Willow's tag that has pulled out the back of her shirt. Yep. Larry has a big bandage around his arm and says that he was attacked by a wild dog. And
37 Oz, stitches.
37 stitches. And Oz is like, yeah, man, I feel you. Like, my little cousin Jordy just got his adult teeth in and does not like to be like tickled. And he shows like his index finger, mm-hmm. which has a tiny little Band-Aid on it.
Yep. Yeah. I think had it not been Larry and the asshole, Oz might have been a little more sympathetic.
Uh-huh.
But it's Larry. So
then Larry starts leching on Teresa.
Mm-hmm. And she is in a panic because so they're broken up into groups, not partners, for self-defense. And Teresa's like, oh, I think we're in a group. And pops over Buffy and she's like, yes, yes we are. And Buffy is all about the crunching of the Larry.
Because she has, you know, put Larry in his place previously,
mm-hmm.
When Larry's being a gross asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow kind of grabs up and he's like, you're supposed to be a little girly girl, be a little girly girl, which I think is bullshit because you can be feminine and still kick ass.
Yeah, then, like even thinking back to high school, like there were definitely girls that, like I can think back to girls that I went to high school with who are power lifters now.
Yeah,
a couple of them spring to mind, and they are very feminine looking women. Not that it matters either way, but like they have the appearance of a girly girl, but can like lift guys the size of Larry plus, and they're like my height, which is 5'3", rounded up.
That's like how I always say I'm 5'6½". And that half inch is very important to me because everyone else in my family is so much taller than me.
Is Miriam taller than you?
Yep. Why yep.
I just know she's taller than me. And that's taller. usually how it works.
Several inches.
Anytime I notice someone taller than me, the level of tallness to other people, no idea. It's just like, you're all tall. I don't care. So back to Buffy. Buffy gives it a go at not kicking Larry's booty, but then Larry grabs Buffy's booty, not booby. She would have flipped him then too, I'm sure. But she just goes, "Wacha!" And he goes flying, and every girl watching Buffy cheers.
Yep.
The girls at home. Willow's just like,
But no, everyone else is like, oh, thank God. Larry got his comeuppance again.
This includes the guys. The guys are all like, good. Like, Oz was like, that works too.
So, now knowing that there's going to be another werewolf that night, Buffy and Giles go to Lover's Lane.
Buffy dressed like she's going to rob someplace. Giles dressed like a librarian.
Yep.
Which I don't, like, okay, I guess Buffy wouldn't want any of her classmates to see her, like, slinking around. But it just makes it more suspicious that she's all in black with, because, like, you can still see her, like, face. She doesn't have this a ski mask on or something. Mm-hmm. But Giles goes, like, did you see anything? And she starts reporting back about, you know, somebody who's cheating on somebody else. And Giles is like, ahem. And like, oh, yeah, no werewolves.
Like, Owen Statile, which is not apparently the Owen that she, mm-hmm. it's a different Owen.
Yeah.
Different Owen. But Owen was making out with Brittany Podell when he goes with Barrow Williams and shock.
And when she says goes with, I was just like, you can, this is the one time where I think the writing is not what a 17-year-old of the 90s would have said.
Uh-huh.
Because no one was using that language anymore.
It just felt very Grease.
That's stuff my mother would say.
So then Buffy gets caught up in a net. Mm-hmm. And this
is after Giles suggests, by the way, that they try to knock on some windows to see if anyone has seen something. And Buffy kindly reminds him that no one's seen anything.
Yep. So then she gets caught in a net and Hunter Kane comes out. Kane, who is just the epitome of toxic masculinity. And when he gets out of the net and he sees Giles with her, he makes all sorts of gross innuendos about...
And Giles nearly rips his head off. Like, Buffy has to stop him. Because Buffy is like his daughter, one. And two, Giles isn't a pedophile, or like he's not into high school girls. He doesn't want someone talking about Buffy that way, and he doesn't want to be talked about that way.
Yep.
So fisticuffs is what Giles wants to do.
Yep. This guy is so chauvinistic. It's
Buffy can't be out there doing this because she's a tiny girl. He rips teeth out of all of his werewolf's mouths. He's upset because he can't hunt for ivory anymore.
Right? Like, it's like, if he wasn't an asshole enough, he's like, and I can't kill endangered animals. And who cares if these werewolves are humans? I just kill them when they're not human.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I only hunt them 3 days out of the year. I'm very humane.
Month. 3 days of the
month. Sorry. Month, not the year. He basically...
Go ahead.
Oh, he basically, he lets slip that, you know, werewolves are drawn to like sexual tension, which Giles should have known with all of his research, but he was too busy with his globe. So,
yep.
He asks Buffy if there's any place she would know of, and she's like, nope, nothing springs to mind. And he was like, great, thanks, lady. So as soon as he's gone, Buffy's like, I know where he's at. As we all do, like the only other place in town, the Bronze.
Yep. Where Willow and Cordelia are bonding about their respective men, where Cordelia's like, he's always talking about you. And Willow's like, yeah, he doesn't know what he's got. And, you know, he's just always too busy looking around at everything else to like see what he had. So they are talking, and the werewolf, but Cordelia kind of bonds where she's like, you should, like, Xander should at least recognize that you have eyes, like mm-hmm. that you are moving on.
Yeah.
And so that's when werewolf attacks. And Buffy catches up, and she tries to chain it to, like, restrain it, and it gets away. And Kane shows up and is basically like, you know, what the hell do you think you were doing? You should have killed it. You stopped me from killing it. Now it could kill someone else. Like,
and before, like, the scene at the Bronze happens, Teresa is walking home from school. It's nighttime. She's not in her gym clothes any longer. Yeah. And she hears something. You kind of think that it's the werewolf. And so she starts going to run, and then there's Angel. She almost runs like smack dab into him. And he's putting on his best angelic face. And she's like, oh, I thought I heard something back there. And he was like, nope, nothing there. It can get pretty scary out here alone at night. And then she's like, oh, yeah, and, like, going to go leave. But he says, don't I know you? Don't you know Buffy? And as soon as he uses Buffy's name, it breaks down. Like, her demeanor completely changes. She's much more friendly to him. Like, oh, you know Buffy?
Buffy who just saved me earlier in the day from Creepy Larry?
So, of course, like, she, at that point, she agrees to let Angel walk her home. The audience is all screaming, you gon' die! You gon' die! But she cannot hear us.
And so then we see the werewolf attracted to the smell of blood.
This is after the Bronze, yeah.
Yep, after the smell of, after the Bronze. And we see the werewolf, and he's attracted to the smell of blood, and he goes, and Teresa's body falls to the ground. Angel has killed her. And Angel and the werewolf kind of stare each other down, and then back around.
Yeah. Yep. Lots of snarl. I always think that Dalton, that vampire, he wouldn't have, I don't think he growled. I think he had like a meek hiss. Like he'd be like. I don't think he did a growl.
Like a sad little kitty?
Yeah. Like, get away. But we find out who the werewolf is because Oz wakes up in the woods, nude. Yep. And he's like, interesting.
Yep.
So
it's just a very Oz reaction where he's just like, huh.
So he takes and he calls his Aunt Maureen when he gets home and gets some clothes on and asks about his cousin Jordy and if cousin Jordy is a werewolf. And we know she says yes because he says, how long has that been going on? And then, so now Oz knows for sure that he is screwed. He is the werewolf. I'm sure he was probably hoping before that he had been drugged.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I have questions about Aunt Maureen and the rest of Oz's family that are just so laid back about the fact their kid is a werewolf.
Well, I mean, Oz is very laid back. Right. So maybe he just runs in his family. What I think is irresponsible of them is to not tell him when he was bitten, like, you may want to chain yourself up.
Yeah, and what are they doing with Cousin Jordy on Three Nights of the Month? Like, are they putting him in chains? Or
maybe they're just putting him in the basement.
Like, and he's a Jordy's a little kid, so he's probably just a little wolf pup, like a little werewolf pup.
The werewolves in Buffy are pretty ugly, so it's not as cute as one might hope.
Well, maybe they're cuter when they're babies.
Maybe. But so Oz makes it to school, which is pretty responsible of him. You know, he just found out you're a werewolf. Good on you for making it into school. And everyone's pissed because now they've learned about Teresa and they assume that the werewolf got to her.
Yeah.
So they go ahead and they're over the idea of helping the werewolf. Now Buffy's like, I'm gonna pummel him.
Yep.
And this is what Oz hears, and he's like, shit. One, he was friends with Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to kill his friend. And two, he doesn't want to get pummeled by his friend.
He's still new to this group. Like, he doesn't know if he could. I feel like if he was more trusting of them, if he was more ingrained, he could be like, guys, I think I'm the werewolf. Like, but because he's still new to this group and they're talking about pummeling and killing the werewolf who just killed someone, he immediately like retreats into himself. And,
yeah.
And they come up with the idea that the werewolf is Larry, because Larry was bitten by a dog. They know that. And maybe the dog was actually the werewolf. And they're like, he's already toxic masculinity to begin with. And Xander reveals that he actually does remember his time as a hyena, where he became a gross sexual assaulting, like.
And Buffy calls him out on that. And Giles is just like, you're the one who spilled the beans. But yeah, Xander says he will go talk to Larry.
And this is in the locker room.
Yes, and this is beautiful. So he approaches Larry using very vague language, like, I know what it's like, I know what you're going through. And Larry's like, what, you think he got a cure? And then I was like, no, but there are things, like, and they're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
Larry, you know, comes out and says, like, it comes out and says he's gay, and it's the first time he's ever said it aloud. And he says, you know, and Xander's like, come again? And Larry's just like, you saying that you've gone through this gave me the courage to say it aloud as well. I'm gay. And Xander's like, what?
And Xander is such heteronormative cis white boy in his response to this. Like you gay, me not gay. But I mean, this does come, and this is a trope that has been talked about in multiple TV shows since Buffy. This, Buffy may be one of the first ones to do it, but I know Glee did it later. Oh, yeah. Like, the idea of the aggressive bully who is even more aggressive and more overly sexualizing woman to hide the fact that they are gay from themselves and from their friends.
Only in Glee, and like the trope has changed a bit from Buffy to Glee, because they don't so much focus on what they're doing to women, it's what they're doing to feminine or gay men. Yeah. Or boys, really. And it's how they're treating them that is the, like, big flashing red sign. Now, we don't see Larry, because there's, at this point, well, now there's Larry, but before that, there are no gay characters.
Yep.
There's no one. If this was filmed now, there most certainly would be. Yeah. And it's, I think it's a mixture of the fact that it's more accepted now to be out. It's less dangerous. Not to say that it's not, especially depending on where you are, but it's less. Yeah. And there's far more representation now. Buffy is one of the first, Buffy is the first show to have an on-screen lesbian kiss. That wasn't like Cinemax and me. Nothing was then. Buffy mm-hmm. pushes it there.
Yeah.
But, so Xander like sneaks away from Larry. Larry leaves with a very positive, experience with Xander.
Mm-hmm.
Xander has done a good deed accidentally.
Yep.
and Buffy says something like, she just asks like an everyday question, like how'd it go with Larry, and Xander loses his damn mind. Yep. And this happens a couple times in this episode, where he's like, stop pestering me about it. Completely overreacting.
So Buffy has told Willow that Willow might need to make the first move with Oz mm-hmm. if Oz is not making the move himself. And so Willow goes off to, like, you know, confront Oz. And Oz has said that he can't stay and look up names with Willow.
Yes.
He's got something else to do. And so she's like, okay. And so this is the conversation where But Willow points out to Buffy that there is one name that keeps popping up in terms of violence and aggression, and
Buffy's like, hey, I had reasons for those things.
Yep. And there's some good feminine banter back and forth, like friendship banter back and forth there.
Yeah. And right after Willow goes off, I think it is, Xander is there, that Buffy realizes they've just assumed that Teresa was torn apart. Nowhere does it say that.
Yeah.
So she decides to go to the viewing of the body, which is bizarre. That is the next day. Also, the fact that there was a viewing should have tipped her off that she wasn't ripped to shreds, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
She gets there and sees Teresa, checks her neck, sees the puncture wounds, and knows a vampire got her.
Yeah.
And as they're signing, so they go over to sign the guest book, her and Xander, and Buffy blames herself. She said, like, every death in Sunnydale is one that she couldn't prevent. And Xander points out there would have been a lot more dead people. Like, they would have been lined up five deep to yeah. be buried if it weren't for Buffy.
Yep.
Which is the right thing to say.
It's true. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, poor Buffy is constantly, you know, putting herself between the masses and the forces of evil,
mm-hmm.
and she can't protect everyone. She can't save everyone, although she tries.
Yeah.
So then Xander's like, and Teresa's a vampire, and, you know, Teresa attacks, and then right before Xander's the one that stakes her, she says, and Jealous sends his love,
mm-hmm.
and...
Yeah, because Buffy is about to stake her, but mm-hmm. then Teresa says that, and Teresa's able to, like, you know, throw Buffy off of her at that point, and she's going to try and go for the kill when Xander stakes her. And we see that clip in the opening sequence after this.
Yep. But, so, here is this moment where, like, Buffy's like, her death was my fault, and Xander says no.
Mm-hmm.
And she's starting to accept that, and then she realizes, actually, her death is my fault, in as much as Angelus killed her as a message to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, he did that on purpose. He killed her school friend and then left her to respond to Buffy to say, you know, Angel did this, Angelus did this. Like.
Mm-hmm. And which, so, I want to know, how did he pass that note on? Like, as he was, like, feeding her his blood, was he like, be sure to say this as soon as you wake up? Like,
I mean, you don't see how he kills her.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think, you know, he probably pinned her up against a wall or something and said, you know, this is a message for Buffy, and then killed, like, you know, he might have tortured her a little bit first. Like, we don't know what happens between his walking her home and seeing her body fall at, yeah, like, that's, ah.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, and with Angelus, it was probably quite dark.
Yeah, I mean, her body was in pretty good shape, so I don't think he was doing too much. You can't do that much as a mortician. You can do stuff. I still think it's weird, though, that the next day she was out on display, which also means she would have been embalmed. We still have no answer on that.
Yeah.
How does it work?
When you talk about embalming and vampires.
She would have none of her organs, which means what are you staking? Where the heart was?
Yep.
Anyway.
These are very good points. One must ask Joss Whedon.
I keep imagining that, like, the morticians are just shoving, like, fake hearts in, like, stuffed ones, and that's what gets...
So then, you know, okay, so we've got...
It goes back Buffy. To Oz.
Right? Yeah, so Buffy is getting ready to go hunt the werewolf. Kane is casting, like, silver bullets in his, like, murder van. And, like, and Willow goes to approach Oz, and she, like, knocks on the door, and she's like, I had this all written down, and she's ranting at him, and then she sees that he was preparing to chain himself up, and she's like, okay, like, and she's confused, and then, of course, like, before Oz can really explain what's happening,
it looks like he's gonna poop.
Yep. He's like, I'm going through all these changes, and then he kind of is like, I've got ulcerative colitis. Yep.
I have a painful poo coming. And they do kind of very nicely where to have him change, so they don't have to spend the money on the CGI, at least not all of it, he falls behind the couch.
Yep. Can I just say, though, that he was having period cramps?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The entire time, they kind of, like, relate the idea of the werewolf to being on your period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the time of the month. And then he's like, my period cramps, here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Owie.
Yeah, how do you feel about Willow going over to Oz's house and, like, the rant that she lays at his feet?
I'm not a fan, but then I'm also a fan because, like, Willow does awkward. Like, Willow is awkward. And, I don't think she knows how to do... the adult conversation. Like, she's not quite there emotionally yet to have adult conversations. And so she just kind of comes in on a rant of, like, don't you want me? I want you. Like, you should be spending time with me. Instead, you are, huh, chains? Like, excuse me. But I think that I am not a fan of the rant, but I feel like it's true to the character.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate that Willow is standing up for herself, but the way in which she is doing it is not the best way, confronting him the way that she does. I mean, one, it nearly leads to her death, but that's besides the point. I think that also she's hitting Oz with so much untrust, like that's what that rant says to me. Like, she does not trust what he is saying and doing here, but Oz hasn't done anything to make her think, like, that should make her think that something else is going on. He said he has something to do that night, but she asks him last minute, you know, and he has other things that he does. So to me, it's an overreaction, the fact that he didn't want to sit in the library last minute with her and look up these names. Yeah. But, you know, it works for the story.
It works for the story and it works for the character. So she runs away and she manages to escape. Part of the reason she manages to escape is because the werewolf smells what is apparently pheromones that Kane is using to, like, bait him, basically.
Yeah.
And Willow comes running in to the library, and they're like, we don't know who the werewolf is, not Larry. And then Will is like, it's Oz, it's Oz. They're like, are you sure? And she's like, yes.
Yep. And Oz must live really close to the school, because she makes it to the library very quickly. Especially, like, I don't know how great werewolf's sense of smell is, but he traipses off to the woods, and in that time of him getting from by his house to the woods, Willow has gone, got the Scoobies, they assemble, and they go out to the woods.
Here is my map of Sunnydale, okay? School, cemetery, Lover's Lane, the Bronx.
Woods.
Woods. And then somewhere off, like, to the side, maybe less than 20 minutes away, is UC Sunnydale.
Mm-hmm. And then sprinkled throughout Sunnydale are everyone's homes and that cafe that shows up a lot when they're walking the streets in college.
Yep. And the magic shop.
And the magic shop.
But, like, so I'm imagining, like, a main street, right? Mm-hmm. And the main street has the magic shop, the cafe, and the Bronx.
And a bridal shop in it. We know that, too.
Yep. And then there's the residential stretch, the residential street, which has Willow's house, Xander's house, Oz's house, Buffy's house.
Like, and then an apartment complex where Giles lives.
Yep, which is close to the Bronze, mm-hmm. as we know.
And a burned down factory somewhere.
But, like, this place is not very big. There's not that many streets.
No, there's really not. Which, I mean, Cordelia does say that, you know,
there's not a town.
Yeah, like, the bad side of town is down the street from the good side of town. So, yeah. I imagine the bad side of the town is the closer you get to the cemetery and school. Yeah. But the
scuffle, mm-hmm. and Willow ends up shooting Oz with a trank gun, which has enough phenobarbital in it to put down a small elephant or a large werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they had to also kick the shit out of the
cane,
yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, he starts making his snarky, mean comments again, and Buffy just breaks his gun and yep. hands it to him, and he's like,
yep.
And
that had no one's man enough mm-hmm. to do what needs to be done, and she just bends it, mm-hmm. hands it to him, and tells him to get out of town. Like, leave, this is under my protection, and he now realizes, don't mess with this girl.
Yep. And she has, like, she's nice to this werewolf, but she might not be so nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow's upset because she shot Oz, and she's like, you were protecting us all.
And protecting him.
Yeah. He would have been devastated had he killed Willow, Buffy, and Giles.
Yeah. And so the next day, after Oz has slept it off, mm-hmm. And has had a conversation with Giles, Larry is all of a sudden experiencing a change of personality, mm-hmm. where he's no longer looking up girls' dresses. He actually, other toxic masculinity guys knock over a girl's paper so they can look up her dress, and Larry bends down and picks them up for her and gives them to her. And
his voice has changed, even.
His voice has changed as well. Yep.
In a softer tone.
So then we've got, you know, wonderful Larry, and
now wonderful Larry,
yeah. who is more at peace with himself and no longer lashing out at people around him.
Mm-hmm.
And
Buffy clocks this as well, because she was like, well, that's weird. And Xander's like, I don't know anything about this. And so Xander and Buffy are sitting, and Xander starts ranting about Oz and how Willow shouldn't be with Oz, and how if it were up to him, and Buffy stops him there and says, it's not up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And someone finally said it to him. Like, it's something Willow never would say, but Buffy's not taking the Willow position in this. She is direct and just cuts that off. And then we cut to Willow approaching Oz. Mm-hmm. And Oz says, you know, basically like, you know, she's like, how you doing? Yeah. And he says about Giles giving him the talk. And he's like, you know, if you want to take some time away from me right now, I understand. And Willow's like, no, I don't want to do that. I didn't write down what it actually was that she said, but she's like, I don't want to take time away from you. I want to spend time with you. Yep. And she starts to walk away, but then she runs back and gives him a smooch. And it's just like a quickish smooch on the mouth. And then she like scuttles away again because she's like, oh my God, I did it. And Oz just stands there with this like melty look on his face. And he goes, a werewolf in love.
Uh-huh. So, and again, she does clock the, you know, like the period metaphor where she says, 3 days out of the month, I'm not that great to hang around with either.
Yep.
Who are these lucky women who are only having their periods for 3 days? I would love to know these. Right.
Especially like when you're a teenager. Lucky gal.
Like, seriously? I feel like that line was written by a guy.
Also, Grumpy Willow at that age, I mean, later on, Grumpy Willow could have some very serious consequences, but high school Willow, what is she going to do? Like, she is not mean, like, so, ever.
I just checked. This episode was written by Rob Dess Hotel and Dean Vitale, and directed by Bruce Seth Green. So yeah, this was all men who are like, how long does a period last? 3 days. 3 days. That's about right.
I asked my mom. She's in her 50s. She says hers lasts 3 days. I'm not going to factor in any menopausal symptoms.
Okay, so that is phases. And now we move on to Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Which is one of our first episodes where Harmony is making an appearance. And guess who is back? Amy.
Oh, yes. And I was like, Jonathan?
Amy's back.
Yes, Amy's back. I do want to say one other thing in regards to Oz and Willow in high school have a very healthy relationship. Like, it is very much so idealistic for a high school romance, but like, they have a very healthy, respectful relationship.
Yes.
Buffy and Angel did not, like, at all. The stalking and the lurking, bad, bad, bad. Xander and Cordelia, that is not a healthy relationship, but we're all very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I think people put a huge emphasis on Angel and Buffy, but that's not the real, like, true love story. Like, yes, it's a love story, but that's not the one to emulate. The one to strive for.
Relationship goals.
Yes. Relationship goals are Willow and Oz, high school. And I specify high school because of how it ends up, but. On to Bewitched, Bothered, Bewildered. Bothered by the name of this one. But yeah.
Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered came out February 10th, 1998. So it was right before Valentine's Day that it came out. And it's a Valentine's Day episode.
Yep.
And Buffy and Xander are talking and they're patrolling in the cemetery, and Xander is showing Buffy this heart-shaped, like, necklace that he got for Cordelia because he wants to make it official. Like, he wants to actually have them be together as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he shows it to Buffy, and Buffy's like, I don't know if she's gonna like this. Like, Cordelia is someone who has a lot of money, and she's used to getting expensive gifts. So Xander has this necklace. Buffy's not sure how it's going to be received, and she has no idea why in the world Xander would want to date Cordelia. And especially as Willow has said, Xander is formerly the treasurer of the We Hate Cordelia Club.
Yep. Like, not just like a club, but the club that he's the treasurer of.
Yep. Then we skip to, I believe we skip to the next day at school. Cordelia's walking in and her friends like start walking away from her, like the Cordettes start. Yeah,
the Cordettes are ignoring Cordelia.
Yeah. And it's because of Xander. They flat out say that's why.
Yep. And it's Harmony who has kind of like stepped into a position of power where she used to be Little Miss Cordette. Now she's trying to take Cordelia down a couple pegs. So we go to class and Xander witnesses Amy bewitching the teacher into accepting a fake paper that does not exist. Like thinking that she's accepted a paper from Amy when she has not.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, he's thinking about, like, well, maybe I should talk to her about that, but then he kind of gets distracted.
Mm-hmm. And to be fair, he does tell the Scoobies and whatnot, like his fellow Scoobies, what he has seen, and they're like, well, that's not good. Like, doesn't she know, like, what happened with her mother? And they're like, oh, we'll get to her, basically. And also in the meantime, Jenny tries to approach Giles, and Giles is like, nope.
Yep.
None of that. He just blows her off. And because he has to talk to Buffy and he does have something important to tell her, he kind of pulls her aside in the library and gives her the heads up that it's around Valentine's Day. He's been reading up on Angel as Angelus, and he gets rather inspired around Valentine's Day. Like, he does horrible things and says, like, you might want to stay in and not patrol during this time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Angel can just come into her house. So, I mean, that doesn't really help her.
I don't think they were really figuring that part out at that point. Like, they knew, but they didn't know. Like,
weren't considering it.
Really mentally assimilated that knowledge that all of a sudden now there's a bad vampire with access to the house.
Yeah, and it really, it says a lot, and Buffy brings it up later, the fact that Giles isn't forthcoming with details about what Angel does. He's just like, it's bad, you don't need to know what, just don't go outside.
Yeah.
And so after that exchange, we pop on over, because it's Valentine's Day time-ish, and Spike has a present for Drew, which is this lovely necklace, and Drusilla's very, like, you know, she's like, oh, I love it, it's lovely. And then Angel plops down a heart on...
still warm, bloody heart that he found in a quaint little shop girl.
Mm-hmm. And Spike is just like, I'm going to kill this man. Like this vamp is dust soon. Mm-hmm. That is very much so the sense you get from Spike, because Angel is not so secretly making a play for Drusilla.
Yeah.
Probably to get at Spike. Like, mm-hmm. He enjoys torturing, and his torture...
He is truly sadistic.
Yeah. His torture of Buffy doesn't always go the way he wants, but he knows he can play with Drusilla, and it'll drive Spike bonkers. And he can't do anything right now, which makes it extra good for him.
Yeah.
Then I think it's a Valentine's Day dance for the school, right? At the Bronze?
At the Bronze, yep. The school dance at the Bronze.
Their gym doesn't work, apparently, at Sunnydale High.
Willow quite excitedly is telling everybody that her boyfriend's in the band.
Mm-hmm. And she excitedly says, like, I think I'm a groupie.
So she's with Xander, They're waiting for Cordelia. Buffy is not going out. Buffy is staying in with her mom. There's a knock at the door, and it's a long black box, a dozen red roses, and the word soon.
And the knock definitely came from the front door. Buffy goes to check. No one's there. And when she gets back, Joyce isn't sitting down, which I'm sure Buffy's heart has to drop a bit. Yeah. And then she goes and finds that her mother had checked the back door and found that. Which, thankfully, it was only roses that she found there.
Yeah.
Because she easily could have found her mother's corpse.
Yes. Oh, cool. Yeah. So then we're back to the Bronze. And Cordelia, again, is rejected by the Cordettes. Yeah.
And Xander has with him the necklace in a box. Like, he is anxiously waiting to give it to her.
Yep. And he gives her this little romantic speech about maybe you, something in you, see something in me. And he gives it to her. And she loves it. And she wants to be with him. But her image means more to her. And so she says, I want to break up because they don't fit. Xander's like, you're breaking up with me on Valentine's Day. You suck.
Yep.
And everyone's unhappy.
Yep. And he's like, this is the only day of the year that, other than someone's birthday, that you do not break up with them.
Yeah.
Like, that is an unwritten rule. So the next day at school, everyone's mocking Xander, because it happened at the dance in a very public way. And he's just like getting browbeaten like all day. Basically, like in the morning. So hearing all these people be really nasty to him, he sees Amy and grabs her.
Grabs her.
Like, ouchie.
And she's like, what are you doing? And this is not good Xander time.
He's very forthcoming with the fact that he's blackmailing her, at least.
Yep, he's like, blackmail is such an awful, and she's like, What do you mean? Like, I didn't say blackmail. I was like, no, but I'm about to blackmail you.
Thought I'd bring it up.
Yep. Like, so unapologetically indulging in his dark side, you know.
Yeah. And when he says he wants a love spell, Amy's like, love spell? Are you sure, like, that you want to be with her forever? And Xander's like, forever? No, I just want her to come crawling back to me so I can reject her and she can feel what I'm feeling. And Amy warns him, like, an intent with a love spell has to be pure. Xander said his was pure revenge or pure hatred or something. His intent is very pure. Mm-hmm. And he makes it clear that she is going to do this love spell whether she likes it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy says, fine, I'm gonna need a personal item. So he goes and gets the locket, or not locket, the heart-shaped necklace that he gave Cordelia, which she says it's in her locker, but she's actually wearing it under her clothes. He should have been able to feel that it was warm, and that should have tipped him off.
Yeah, but Xander's not always the most observant. He's not Oz.
No. I mean, he's observant with some things, like when Angel's going to try and kill Willow, but so she gives the necklace. That's what they use for the spell later that night, where they have Xander sitting in Venus's mirror with a candle. It's very bizarre.
Yep.
In the school, like, how are you getting that off the floor? So many questions.
So many questions.
Yeah. And we cut to the next day, and Xander saunters on up to Cordelia and makes a huge ass of himself, like, trying to woo her. And it's not, the spell has not worked clearly. Yep. She mocks him mocks him. And he goes away with his tail between his legs and starts chanting, goes into the library where Buffy is. And
where Buffy is learning more about what Angel does on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, although the puppy.
She tells Giles, skip the puppy story, because I don't have a puppy and I don't want to know.
Yeah, because this is where she brings up the point, like, you've never hidden anything from me before. Let me know what I'm up against.
Yeah.
So he caves and tells her everything minus the puppy.
Yep. And so then while Buffy is talking with Xander, all of a sudden she starts kind of hitting on him, and he's like, oh my goodness, like, you know, my dream come true, my feelings for Buffy, you know, never mind, forget Cordelia, Buffy, finally.
And this is where we see Xander. He's been really crappy, right, through most of this episode, or at least since Cordelia and him broke up. This gets at the heart, really, I think, of who Xander is afterwards, because he's done some really craptastic things, but there are lines he will not cross.
Mm-hmm. This part, he still thinks that it's real.
Yeah, he thinks it's real right now, and he's thrilled. And Amy's like, I need to talk to you. So he follows Amy out into the hallway and keeps looking at, like, back into the library of Buffy, and she's staring at him, giving him eyes and doing things with her hair. And Amy starts talking about how they can do, like, get together again. And as she's talking, it dawns on Xander that the love spell hit not Cordelia, but at least Buffy and Amy. Mm-hmm. And it breaks his heart.
Yep.
Perhaps worse than Cordelia rejecting him.
And then the Cordettes start trying to, like, hit on him too. And he's like, crap. So he goes home and he finds Willow in his bed. And she's like, we used to do this all the time. And he's like, when we were kids, not kids.
Pajamas. Yeah, and again, and Willow is someone also that Xander has feelings for, and Willow's not wearing pants. If Xander were a lesser human being, he would have taken advantage of Buffy, of Willow, or if he didn't want to do that to one of his friends, any number of the women, including the lunch lady, throwing themselves at him. I mean, honestly, with all the women after him, he probably wouldn't have gotten very far with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at that point, Xander goes back to the school.
Yeah, he throws himself upon the mercy of Giles.
Yes.
And Giles at first doesn't believe him, but then Jenny walks in and starts, like, and it starts off normal. She's like, oh, hi, Xander. And then her hand stays on him. And then she's like, nice shirt. And then she's petting him. And then she's like, are you wearing cologne? And Xander's like, look, Giles, look at what's happening.
And Giles is like, you colossal idiot. And at some point, Amy comes in as well. And Buffy is in, all of her clothes have gone, and she just has that
little trench coat.
Yep. Yeah, the black satiny trench coat. And she, like, throws herself hard at Xander. Like, all of his fantasies come true hard at Xander. And he still turns her down. And that's when he sees the happen in Buffy, where she's probably going to be one of the girls who gets very violent.
Yep.
And with Buffy, that's deadly.
Quickly. Yep. Except Amy shows up,
mm-hmm,
and turns Buffy into a rat.
Yes.
And is trying to turn everyone into rats if they get in the way between her and Xander.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oz shows up when they're trying to find Rat Buffy, and right as he's about to catch Rat Buffy, Oz punches him in the face. Because, but here's what I love, though. Mm-hmm. Oz punches Xander in the face and says, I felt like I had to do that because of this conversation with Willow.
She was crying about you all night.
Crying about you all night. I had a strong urge to punch you in the face. And then he looks at him and offers his hand to get him up off the ground. Like, mm-hmm. I have expressed my anger. Now we're cool. Let's sort this out. Mm-hmm.
And so they're all looking for Buffy. Giles is furious now because his slayer is a rat. And Oz kind of gets tasked with being the one to find Buffy because Buffy makes a break for it.
Yes.
Rat Buffy. And
so Giles is like, Oz, go find Buffy. Jenny and I will stay here with Amy and undo the spells, like the love spell and the rat spell. And he's like, Xander, he's just so disgusted. He's like, just go home. Mm-hmm. And so like Xander is feeling dejected. And it's been a rough period of time for Xander, to be honest.
Yeah, rough couple days.
But then he walks out into the hallway and Cordelia is getting beat.
Yeah, like they're ripping at her hair. And it's all these women who are so upset that she dumped Xander.
Mm-hmm.
And Harmony is the one you hear being like, how could you hurt him? Yeah. Like ripping at her. And they take her down to the ground. And that's Xander runs in past all these women who are like grabbing onto him and picks Cordelia up and makes a run with her.
Yep.
And
they walk out the door. And there's Willow with like, the townspeople, and she's got an axe.
Like a fire axe.
Like, axe-wielding Willow, who uses the word bitch to refer to Cordelia. I would rather see you dead than see you with that. The malice. Like the girl against girl toxicity there, vying for this obsession, not love, but obsession over Xander.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, I mean, Willow has love for Xander. Now we can argue that it's cooled to a friendship, but not so long ago, it was floofy, floofy, louve, louve. So Xander and Cordelia go a running again from the mob of women. I think Jenny Calendar is in said mob. The lunch lady is. Those are the only ones I remember from the angry mob. There's now two fractions of obsessed women. The ones who want Xander dead and the ones who want to have lots of sex with him. In Futurama, the smush? No, the
snoo-snoo.
Snoo-snoo. They want to snoo-snoo him to death. All of them. That's
by snoo-snoo.
Yeah. Death by snoo-snoo is coming for Xander from many different women of varying ages.
Yep. So they run, and again, talking about the smallness of Sunnydale, they run from the school to Buffy's house, which isn't very far.
Nope. And Joyce lets them in. They have miscalculated, because Joyce is a woman.
Uh-huh.
And Xander has, like, a scratch on him or something. So Joyce sends Cordelia upstairs to get some bandages, and then starts coming on to Xander.
Mm-hmm.
Xander just starts banging his head.
And Cordelia's like, WTF? And Joyce is like, oh, honey, go back upstairs. Like, go away. Leave me alone with Xander. And so Xander runs up to Buffy's room with Cordelia.
After throwing Joyce outside.
Yep.
And Joyce breaks her own window. And she's like, honey, let Joyce in.
Let Joycey in.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh. So they run up to Buffy's room, lock themselves in. Oh, we'll be safe in here. Angel pops through, because it's nighttime now, grabs Xander and goes, that's nice in theory, pulls him out. Because it's still around Valentine's Day. And Angel says he was hoping to catch Buffy, but finding Xander's body will do just fine.
Yep. Except he can't, because guess who is a woman? Drusilla! Who calls him Kitten. Mm-hmm. And she wants to protect the kitten.
And turn him into a vamp.
Yep. Eternal life. Eternal life. Yep.
And Xander's like, no.
And so then, you know, the mob of women catch up, and it's all happening very fast. Like, it's all happening very fast, and then Cordelia rushes out and pulls him back into the house, and Joyce is there with a knife, and they go back into the basement, and the last time that Cordelia and Xander were in the basement is when they first expressed feelings for each other, at the very least, lust.
Yeah, lust.
And Xander reveals that the spell was for Cordelia. It was supposed to make her love him, which she already kind of did. So the woman breaks through the basement door, things are going crazy, and Giles and Amy manage to reverse the spells, like just at the right moment before everyone gets murdered. Spell's broken.
And everyone's very confused. And Cordelia is like, get off of me! Because Cordelia's still Cordelia throughout all this. And she's like, why are you touching me? Get off me, you freaks.
Yep. And then she's like, well, that was the best scavenger hunt ever!
Mm-hmm. Also, the Summer's house insurance has to be through the roof.
I think all of Sunnydale's house insurance has to be through the roof.
But think about everything that's happened just this season to this house.
Yep.
Like, their basement door has been broken numerous times. Windows, the back door, like, oi, oi. I want to know who does the work, though, because they get that stuff back up in top-notch condition.
Yep.
This is what older people see when they watch Buffy. Because I was never concerned about that when I was a teen.
So Buffy comes back into being a human with Oz there, and she's like,
nudie pants.
And he's like, not so much. and he goes and gets her clothes.
Yeah, and Oz makes sure not to, like, look at nude Buffy. Like, if he looks at her, it's in her eyes.
Yep.
Yep. And he turns off the flashlight, like, and he's like, I'm gonna go get you something. In my head, I'm like, why don't you offer her the extra shirt you're wearing for a starter?
The double shirt.
Yep, that all boys at that age wore, like, at that time frame.
So many of them. It was the shirt and then the other shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just layers of shirts. Do you guys still do that? Like, teens?
It's been a while since I've seen a teen boy. I've been stuck in quarantine since March.
So. Like, my nephew just wears a lot of hoodies. So under that would be a shirt, I assume.
Yep.
But anyway.
Willow's not talking to Xander. Willow is like, nope. But Buffy thanks Xander for not taking advantage of her. Like, yep. She remembers what he said to her. And what he said to her was, if I thought this was real, you know, I would be so ecstatic about this.
Yeah.
But I know it's real. So I know it's not real. I know it's the spell. So I am not going to act on this.
Yeah.
Which is talking about consent and consent under the influence. And can a person give consent while under the influence? And I have had lots of conversations about that, about whether or not a person can give consent under the influence. And does that mean you can never have sex with a person when they've been drinking? And what I have always felt is the case is if the person makes a determination to be involved with someone before they start drinking, that can constitute preconceived consent. So, like, if I were to get on with my honey tonight after I've had several drinks, like, he can sleep with me because I have given my consent. Mm-hmm. I have started out with the intent. But, like, if I were like, I do not want to have sex tonight, and then I had a bunch of drinks, that would be a, you know, don't turn that around.
And the only other thing I add on to that with, like, if you have a consistent partner or someone that you've been with before, that, but also if they suddenly, while drinking or after drinking, want to try something that you know that they would not normally be up for.
Yep.
Or if you suggest something because they're more likely to agree to it, you're a bad person. Like, don't do that.
Now, I had a friend who at one point wanted to experience drunk sex. She was married. She had never in her life experienced drunken sex. And what she wanted was to experience, like, blackout drunkenness, like extreme drunkenness sex. And so she, like, coordinated it with her partner in advance of, okay, this is the night where we're going to go for drunken, like, drunken debauchery. And, but, like, that was communicated. It was planned, communicated. There was, like, consent up the wazoo for what was going to happen.
Yeah. And it's also important to always keep in mind that consent can be withdrawn at any point.
Yeah, yeah.
But with Xander understands that, like, for all of his flaws, that is not one of them.
Yeah.
Xander, you know, there's a line, he does not cross it. Now, had Buffy been in her right mind and given him carte blanche, he would have been like, well, I have a list.
Yes.
I have been waiting. I saw this in a movie once. So.
What was the line from the judge where he was like, I'm 17 years old, linoleum makes me think about sex?
Yeah. Yeah. And. Which, the way you said that made it seem like the judge said that.
Xander, in reference to that, yes.
Can you imagine the judge just turns to the camera and says that, I'm 17,000 years old. Linoleum, which I don't know what it is, but that makes me want to have sex. So the bottom line there is Xander and Buffy are cool. Willow's gonna need some time.
Yep.
And then Cordelia takes and stands up for Xander.
Yep.
Her
Harmony once again tries to put down Xander and then turns like all buddy buddy with Cordelia, and Cordelia's like, shut up.
Like, you're a sheep.
Yep, you're a sheep, which, because I'm not a sheep, but you're a sheep, and I'm not a sheep, and I can date whoever I want. Mm-hmm. And you know, just powers on through. And I think the fact that she said that took the power away from Harmony, that Harmony was, like, trying to scoop up the cordettes and, you know, make them into the harmonizers.
I guess, yeah. And I do love that once Cordelia actually reaches Xander, she's like, oh God, oh God, oh God.
They had had a conversation earlier where they're like, are you going to turn into one of those couples who dresses like alike, dresses in matching outfits? And what I noticed is they're not in matching outfits, but they are in complementary outfits with each other when they're walking away.
Yeah.
Like the colors of his shirt and her like sweater shirt combo, they very much complement each other. And so they're happy that they have, you know, she has made her decision, and her decision is yes, she wants to date lame Xander.
And she's happy with that decision.
Yep.
And that's where we are left at the end of Bewitched, Bewildered.
Nope.
Bewitched, Bothered, Bewildered.
Yep. Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. So next week, we're going to be talking about Passion and then Killed by Death.
Yes. I love Passion, even though it's an episode.
It's, yep. All right. Well, thank you everyone for just jossing with us. We will see you next week.
And be careful on full moons.
And be